talking working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Man, something funny just happened here in the studio a few minutes back. The boss walked by, said he was going to be gone for a few days, and I was in charge.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, he basically took that back and told me to stay out of trouble while he was gone. So anyway, guys know how to be funny, don't they? Well, the cooler weather is working its way down here. Currently in the very western end of the Oklahoma Panhandle in Boise City, it's 24 degrees. Slap out is at 40. Cheyenne, you're at 38. Hollis, you're 41. Tipton and Altus, you're at 43. Just in the 40s. And then let's check out the wind. This is a third straight day of the wind, and it's getting it. Especially up north of Woodward there at the Mays Ranch and Buffalo and Freedom, 35-mile-an-hour wind out of the northwest with gust up to 46 at Buffalo. May Ranch, basically the same thing. Camargo, you have 30-mile-an-hour wind with gust up to 41. Down here in Mangum, just to show you the difference, is half what it is up there. Mangum's at 15 miles an hour with gust up to 20. And Hollis, you're just 15 miles an hour, actually straight out of the north there. So anyway, it's pretty gusty. I was looking, I know you guys check out the soil temperature and the soil moisture on the mesonet, and I was just looking at that, and I thought I'd briefly go over that real quick with you guys, just so you know. Nope, wrong one. Come on, back up. I need the 4-inch. So the 4-inch soil temperature right now is basically in all of Oklahoma, in the southern part, the north, very northwestern part, you're in the 30s, 35 at Arnett, 37 at Buffalo. But down here in the southwestern part, 43 is the temperature of the soil, 4 inches down. The warmest I seen is in Newport, Oklahoma, which is over there on your way. It's kind of in the middle, south central there. 54 degrees. Basically, the rest of the state is in the upper 40s. And then I was looking at the soil moisture also for you ag fanatics. And basically, all the state is in pretty good shape for 4-inch plant available water, except for the northwestern part. It's in the, Elk City is 0.80 moisture available, and Buffalo, you're 0.51, but Slap Out, basically, you only got nothing. I mean, you're talking a tenth of an inch, 0.10. So just interesting to check all this stuff out. Looks like, where did I see the most at? Let me check this out. Yeah, I think Pryor, Oklahoma has 1.26 inches of moisture available for plants. So anyway, it's pretty cool. If you don't have, I know most of you guys do, but my listeners out there that don't, if you'll download that Oklahoma Mesonet app on your phone, man, is all kinds of cool stuff on there for you to check out. And you know, for my friends over in Texas, they do have the Texas Mesonet up, but it's not fully developed yet. But you live along the state line over here on the west end, or down there around Vernon and stuff, just download the Oklahoma one. I bet it's pretty close to what you got. So anyway, all right, good news. We finished corn yesterday. Finally, the humidity dropped. Everything went. We did okay. How's that? We didn't, the crop made us a little bit, and we made some, you know, we covered all of our expenses plus some. But it was pretty devastating to be on that combine yesterday, I'm not going to lie. So catch you back up on the story. Last Tuesday was the first day we were able to combine any because of the moisture content in the corn. And it was borderline. It was testing 20.6, but they took a load. And we made pretty good jag of corn there on that 7.5 acres a week ago last Tuesday. Yesterday, we went in there and finished it up. And I'll just give you a, it was terrible. That's all I can tell you. Just, am I mad? No, I'm just disappointed. It was animal damage. In the 8 days since we combined, if you'll get on our KCO's Facebook page, I shared the before and after videos. And last week, we're probably averaging close to 190, 200 bushels to the acre. Yesterday, we averaged 78 bushels to the acre. The hogs got in there and totally destroyed probably a third, if not half, of the corn crop in 8 days. I mean, there'd been a little damage in there when we was in there last week, but it was spotty. It was aggravating, but yesterday just plum made me boil. And worked hard on that corn crop to have the hogs come in there. And you got to understand, I'm next to a refuge, and it's like a jungle in there along the river. Hard to trap, hard to do this and that. And state trappers have been trying to help all along, and they couldn't get them pinpointed. They didn't even know which direction they was coming from, because they could come from any direction they wanted over in that area. But I was informed this morning that helicopters are going to be in Monday or the first part of the week. And I mean, it's a little late, but we still got to get them under control, because they have 2, 3, 4 sets of babies every year. So anyway, it's disappointing, but we did okay. And so just that's the update on the corn. Just aggravating as hell is all I can tell you. Hogs, you know, that's the reason why feral hogs need to be totally wiped out. And I know it's hard. At my place over west of Willow and south a little bit over there close to Jester, I've had that place almost 10 years now. Never had any hogs. 2 or 3 years ago, they started showing up. And now it's an everyday occurrence. And from what I understand, from one of the people following the hog situation, Greer County probably has more hogs in it now than Beckham and Roger Mills combined now. So that's how fast they can populate and move around. And I know guys love to go out there and hunt them. I shoot them every time I see them, I can promise you. And do it recreational and to help with the deal. But trapping, letting the professionals do the trapping, and the trapping is the best way to get them all at once. And helicopters are a good asset, and I don't know that they'll ever get them all, but you go out and it's just, but anyway, it is what it is. All right, let's check out what happened in the United States last night. By the way, don't get bored and go anywhere, because I got a really cool guy going to be on at in the third segment. James Bigley is going to come on. He's from Texas. He's a farm and ranch realtor down there, but he's kind of a ranch historian, if you want to call it. And he's going to tell us all about the Yellowstone/Dutton Ranch today. And in a couple weeks, he's going to come back on and talk about the Wagner Ranch, King's Ranch, Briscoe Ranch. And then we might even go to New Mexico and talk about the T.O. and some other ranches. He has a lot of details on these ranches. It's really interesting to listen to. So he'll be coming up here shortly after 12:30. And we'll talk about Yellowstone. And I think he's going to tell us the spot where the train station's at. So you really don't want to go anywhere. How about that? All right, let's get back to business here. Ag news. All right, China. Soybean and grain futures were a little changed overnight as traders head into the holiday week, seemingly unwilling to make any big moves. Investors are weighing demand concerns amid a weak global economy and a favorable weather in Brazil against extremely dry weather in Argentina and the United States Southern Plains. Cases of COVID have jumped up in parts of China, including Beijing, since the government last week ended its strenuous restrictions again after protests rocked the Asian nation. With China's economic growth weak, traders are concerned about the demand for the world's largest importer of oil seeds. China is expected to import 98 million metric tons of soybeans in the 22-23 marketing year, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. While that's up from 91.6 million a year earlier, it's down from the 99.7 2 years ago. Also weighing in on prices is rainfall in parts of Brazil, where showers is in the 10 to 15 day window likely will limit stress from expanding. Still, heat stress will be focused on about 15 to 20% of the country's soybeans and first crop corn. The United States Southern Plains also has been mostly dry the past couple weeks. Little or no rain has fallen in parts of southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. Global wheat inventories also are expected to decline this year to 267.3 million metric tons versus 276.3 last year. Soybean futures for January delivery lost 3 pennies to $14.73¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 140 to $454 a short ton. And soy oil fell 67 cents to 62.31. Corn for March delivery dropped 1¼ cents to $6.52¼ a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery rose 1½ cents to $7.58¾ a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City wheat was up 0.75 cents to $8.61¼ a bushel. All right, let's see what the weather's happening in the Farm Belt. Looks kind of chilly. Storms centered over the Dakotas are still dropping snow and ice on much of the northern plains, but should begin to lose some of its punch this afternoon into the evening, according to the National Weather Service. Blizzard warnings will remain in effect for much of South Dakota, North Dakota, and counties in northern Nebraska through mid-afternoon. In central South Dakota, another 4 inches of snow is expected today, with wind gusting up to 45 miles an hour. Another inch of snow is in the forecast for northern Nebraska today, with winds as high as 50 miles an hour. Plan on slippery road conditions, the Weather Service says. In central Iowa, meanwhile, some light snow is expected today, followed by extremely cold weather into next week that will bring wind chills down to minus 20 degrees. And I'll have our long ranger forecast coming up for you here in just a little bit. The cool weather's starting to peek into our 5 to 6 day forecast here. I'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 12th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,333 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 415 brought 220. 4 at 481 brought 212. 15 at 577 brought 197. 3 at 588 brought 165. 60 at 728 brought 189. 15 at 745 brought 155. 4 at 763 brought 177. 8 head of heifers at 429 brought 199. 6 at 479 brought 180. 10 at 513 brought 164. 7 at 559 brought 159. 5 at 642 brought 155. 7 at 704 brought 167. 38 at 709 brought 165.75. Butcher cows were 10 to 80 and a half. Butcher bulls brought 83 to 94. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. And sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
From now through Christmas, the Depot Trading Company will be having their only so many days till Christmas special each day, and they'll feature a different item that will be 25% off that day. You'll find great gift ideas for anyone on your list and stuff you won't find anywhere else in town. It's the best holiday ever at the Depot Trading Company Men's and More Store, 318 South Main Street, downtown Oak City, and enjoy the holiday ride.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. A sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Make the season even brighter with beautiful jewelry from JTV. Shop JTV.com and get $25 off your purchase of $50 or more when you use code RADIO25. You'll discover more than 40,000 jewelry designs and gifts. That's enough to keep everyone on your list sparkling all season long. Plus, new customers will receive $40 in brilliant cash to use toward their next jewelry purchase. Shop JTV.com and use code RADIO25 and fill your holiday with sparkle.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. They are my cap sponsor for today. According to the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center here in our studio, it's 39.4 degrees. The winds are out of the northwest at 14, and humidity is 25%. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into the store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is also their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and even New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just out of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. Easy to find. South side of the road, east side of Wheeler, right on 152 6 Highway. So anyway, give them a call. And thanks again for being my hat sponsor on Fridays, every Friday. All right, let's check out what's going on, because this is about the only thing besides soybeans that's in the green today, and that's livestock. Live cattle, December 154.57, February 155.17, April 159.27, June is 155.75. Feeder cattle, 183.90, up 8. 85 basically. March 184.92, up 25. Lean hogs for February, 84.55, 91.62 for April. May is 97.75. Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now. And just a friendly reminder, at 5 o'clock today, for you guys that sent your wives or your spouses, let me back up. For you people that sent your spouses to the city today to go Christmas shopping, now it's time for you to get your shopping done. So head on out there to the barn at the livestock auction at 5 o'clock. A special female and bull sale will be happening there at Elk City. And then Monday, same thing, 5 o'clock at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, will be having their special female and bull sale also. So keep that in mind. All right, let's check out what happened yesterday. At Woodward, they had 2,922 head there compared to 4,900 last week and 2,600 this time last year. Special note from Woodward, there will be a cow and bull sale at Woodward on December 20th, coming up this Tuesday. The next feeder cow sale will be January 5th. So that's it. Yesterday was it for the feeder calves, and this coming Tuesday, that's it. After that, no cow and bull sale until January 5th. Compared to last week, feeder steers mostly steady. Feeder heifers steady, though $5 higher. Steer calves $5 to $10 higher, with instances of almost $15 higher. Heifer calves $8 to $10 higher. Demand was moderate to active. Quality average. Supply included 100% feeder calves. Let's check out some prices. Here is some 325-pounders that were unwinged. Average 215 brought up to 240. Here's some 416-pounders that were unwinged. They brought 217. And then we had some 515-pounders that were unwinged, brought $1.94. And then we had some that were winged weighing 577, brought $211. And let's go down to 600-pounders. 673, anywhere from 171 to 185. Even the unwinged ones that was weighing that same brought was bringing actually more than the winged ones there. So they must have been some nice calves. Some 734-pounders unwinged brought $1.67. 877 ones that were winged, $1.73. And 1,002-pounder, about four of them, $158 per hunterweight. So there's just some $1,580 calves weighing 1,000 pounds. How about that? All right, let's check out what some of the heifers were bringing. Some, 330-pound, 36-pounders brought $1.91. Some 360s that were unwinged, $208. It all down here to the 500-pounders, 181 for 523s. 600-pounders, anywhere from 151 to 167. And then we had some 700-pounders, 168 was top end, and some 933-pounders, 164.50 was the top end on them. How about that? All right. So the text line is wide open for my special guest coming up. My text line is always open, 580-225-9697. I don't care if you live in Helena, if you live in Slapout, live in Arnett, Hollis, wherever, please don't be bashful about texting in. Sorry, I don't take live calls. No, Garth Brooks, he sings that song, I Have Friends in Low Places. That's me. Anyway, so yeah, Jimmy, I'll take live calls from my guests, and that's it. And I miss the communication with the people. You know, I love talking to people on the phone, but guess what? Not live on the air. How about that? I got a funny story to tell you about. I ran into a friend of mine yesterday that's older than me. How old is he? He's 8 years older than me. We're just going to go with the name DH. Anyway, we're talking about where my irrigation is over by Carter, and he started rattling off something from like 30, 35 years ago. I remember these two guys coming down there, and they had this 80, and they planted it to alfalfa. They bought this square baler they didn't even know how to use, and most of the time they were just drinking beer, wondering how many seeds they need to put in the ground to get a good alfalfa stand, and blah, blah, blah. I called him on it. I said, man, your memory ain't that good. You're old stuff. I ain't never heard of anybody having 80 acres of alfalfa there by my place. I had to call him back last night because I called some local historians around Carter, and sure enough, he was right, and did find out that them guys bought a big square baler, which was probably pretty rare back in the 80s, and they baled one bale with it. So I can only imagine what was going on that 80 of alfalfa, but I got to admit, DH, he was pretty close. He might be old, but his memory's serving him pretty good. But anyway, I'm not apologizing for calling him on it. I'm correcting myself. How's that? Anyway, when we come back, I will have Mr. James Bigley on here. He's a farm and ranch realtor out of Texas, and we're going to talk about the Yellowstone / Dutton Ranch, and we're going to see if we can get it pinned down to where the train station's at. And so anyway, this is going to be really interesting. You guys don't go anywhere and join me when we come back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erick. Call 526-3070.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back, and I ain't gonna lie, that was Sean talking about Knutson Irrigation there out of Yukon, and I had to call him yesterday. I'd had a flat earlier a month or so ago on the pivot down there, and I couldn't get to it until we got some of the corn out of the way so I could get to it, and this thing would not work. So I called him. It's Friday. He's always grouchy on Fridays because everybody like me is calling him. And anyway, I told him, hey, this thing keeps shutting down. We'll go the other way and get the pivot back in line and hit the override button. Bam, I was back in business. And so I even
text him to thank him because I didn't want to hear him griping at me. So anyway, but nah, he's going to be missed one of these days if he ever retires. So anyway, well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. James Bigley. How are you doing today, sir?
Good by yourself, sir.
Oh, I'm doing great. Did I say your last name correct?
Yes, sir, he did.
Oh, good. Finally, I got something right around here. Anyway, you are into real estate and farm and ranch down there in Texas, am I correct?
That's correct. Yes, we're farm and ranch in Texas, but we do cover all the United States now. We sell big ranches, small ranches, and we do a lot of work and also in the Western lifestyle of the United States.
Well, cool. And they, what's the biggest ranch you've ever sold?
I haven't done the big stuff like, you know, 4.6s and all those recent transactions, but the highest one I've done is about 10,000 acres.
That's pretty good size. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I would love to have that.
Have you sold anything in Iowa? I thought about you yesterday when I was doing the show. Iowa's average farm ground price is up to almost $12,000 an acre. I bet you'd like to have a few hundred acres of that, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir, I would. You know, and that's just crazy. Not trying to get off the tangent here, but since COVID and all this stuff that happened 2 years ago, all the land prices across the United States for the most part have gone up, substantially.
Right. Has these high interest rates slowed you down any?
No. There's a reason why is because on the lower price point it has, but for the higher price point properties that I've seen across the market, with the inflation that's going on right now, it's a really good hedge to go ahead and put money in land. It just protects your investment. And, there's a lot of benefits to holding land with, tax benefits and all that. There's still a lot of cash in the market.
Gotcha. Well, I've been throwing you under the bus here for a couple of days, and I don't know if you've heard yet or not. But anyway.
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've put you out there as a kind of like a ranch historian. How's that?
That sounds good. I mean, I'm not the expert, but at the same time, I have done a lot of work into this in the history of the United States, and I have a passion for it for sure.
Well, I watched your stuff on, you got some TikTok stuff going, but you also on your Facebook page, which we'll let everybody know where that is towards you before I get you off the phone today. But, you was talking about the Dutton, Yellowstone, and the T.O. and all those ranches in New Mexico, and the Wagner, and the Kings, and the Briscoe Ranch, and I'm pretty familiar with some of them. Actually, the big mule deer I got here a few years ago was right next to the TO, and so I'm pretty familiar with that area there.
Awesome.
Raton. And me and you is going to talk about the Yellowstone Dutton Ranch today, so let's get started. Tell everybody what you know.
Okay, so first of all, we got to talk about what makes a ranch, and there's a big vein related to the Western United States about deeded versus non-deeded acres.
Okay.
When you go into mid United States and east, you don't have as much non-deeded acres. But even west, I would say of the Mississippi, you start getting into the non-deeded acres. And non-deeded acres is basically when a rancher basically leases out a land from the U.S. government via BLM or U.S. Forest Service or other agencies. It could be a state agency.
Right.
And so when we sell ranches, especially in the West, you might see a 100,000 acre ranch, but it might have 50, or I've seen this scenario all the time, 1,000 acres deeded, which basically means you own that land, and then 99,000 acres of non-deeded land. So when an individual says, hey, I have 100,000 acres over in Montana, let's say, well, that could be a combination of a non-deeded acre versus deeded acres.
Right.
And also, the other important thing about a ranch is that if you have contiguous acreage, or if you have a ranch that is parsed up, meaning that it has four different headquarters because there's four different parcels of land. So, for instance, King Ranch, which is 825,000 acres in South Texas towards Corpus Christi, is one of the largest ranches, but it is divided up in four different sections.
Right.
So Wagner Ranch would be one where it is all under one fence of contiguous land, or, and that's one they claim to fame to Wagner Ranch. It's all contiguous land.
Right. And it's a big boy, too.
Yes, it is. Yeah, definitely. So related to the Dutton Ranch, where the headquarters is, where we see, the series, the YT barn and all that stuff, and the lodge, that actually exists. And it exists south of Darby, Montana, which is, is a ranch called Chief Joseph Ranch. And that ranch has been around since the 1880s. That lodge was built, I think, off the top of my head, in the later 1800s. But the actual ranch, on Yellowstone, let me digress a little bit. They said that the ranch is as big as Rhode Island, which would be around 775,000 acres.
Okay.
And that's obviously, if it did exist, it would be one of the largest ranches in the nation. But since, I'm talking about the actual ranch, and we know Yellowstone's, it's basically fiction, basically. We look at that, and basically the actual headquarters of the ranch is around 125 acres. I've done a lot of tax searching on this property and so forth. And they use some of the satellite ranches around that actual location to do the filming.
I gotcha.
So Dutton Ranch, it would be a very large ranch, but at the same time, they do not go into the detail related to the non-deeded versus deeded, because in Montana, a lot of the countryside in Montana is owned by the U.S. government or state.
Right. Same thing in Wyoming.
Yes, sir. Yeah, a lot of the West is owned by, U.S. government.
So who owns the train station?
So the train station, that's a good question. I know about that one. I've been there many times. No, I'm just joking. But that one's a good, I did a video on that, too. And actually, that one, I think there's a location over in Utah that they do it off of. And it's in between, I forgot the towns, but it's basically near the border of Utah and Montana.
I got you.
And that's not even a ranch. It's just a, road, and it's off the cliffside there. But, there's a lot of theory related to, there's a, on the Yellowstone, actual Yellowstone park, there is a location that is what they call a dead zone where, I don't know if this is true or not, but they say that there's no jurisdiction out of the United States for anybody to cover this 50 square miles of land that's in Yellowstone Park between Montana and Utah, even though it's in one state. But there's a lot of theory related to that's what they're referring to related to this train station, which I've done a video on.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I just want to go there and get a body count. That's all I'm after. and I pay attention to details when them guys show up there to do their thing, but it's always in the dark. So that's really good on that producer's part to always see him dumping in the dark. They never dump in the daylight.
Yeah, that would be not a good move if they were dumping in the daylight, But for some reason, they get lucky and no cars come by when they're out there. So I don't understand that. But, hey, must be in the boondocks somewhere.
Well, I think, everybody's got their opinion on the show, the Yellowstone and 1883 and all that stuff. But I like it because they use cowboys from Oklahoma and Texas to come up there with their quarter horses and stuff and do that stuff. And then Jimmy comes down here to the 4-6s and all that other stuff. I think it's pretty cool that they're keeping ranching into that, even though there's a lot of drama going on in Montana. But, Jimmy, he comes down here and he gets lectured by a cowboy right off the bat and goes on a month-long ride on his horse and comes back and meets his little vet, I think he had already met his little vet girlfriend, and it's all pretty cool.
So. You know, and you hit a point there is, you know, there's a lot of popularity now because of Yellowstone, and there's a cons and pros, but I, you know, at least on my side, one thing I try to do and I try to educate people on is that 90% of the buyers that are buying ranches now are new buyers. And it's my job, and it should be everybody's job when they're selling land to people, that they educate them on good land stewardship and to assist them in getting into the industry, because we all know, you know, our legacy ranchers and the interest that's there is not as it used to be. And my thing is, like, we have to get back to the roots of this country related to this stuff, because it's gonna help us.
Yeah, it is. And we see that even on a smaller version out here in western Oklahoma, in the eastern Texas Panhandle. Somebody comes in and buys something, and they don't know what's going on. But and then you get on Facebook, like Oklahoma Cattle Page, for example. And this guy said, man, I just bought this 220 acres, and I want to put 50 cows out there. And automatically everybody says, hey, dummy, you can't do that. You know, because and I worked on the Briscoe Ranch down there by Uvalde, and for a couple of years, and George Strait's ranch was right across the highway from it, and it was, you know, those guys still doing it the old way, but they just added helicopters to it,
Yeah, and, you know, now they're coming out with GPS fencing, you know, and there's technology trying to be on there. But I always say back to your roots. You know, that's you know, this stuff's important to keep it as a tradition, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's very important. And, you know, or you know what you're going to run into if you show up after buying a ranch and you think you want peace and quiet and you don't want to be neighborly, you know, that youngest son of Dutton's, you know, he taught that one guy, he put him in the cattle guard. And that stuff goes on.
It does, you know, and, old ranchers, man, I've seen it where, I have lots of stories, but, you know, old ranchers, you know, I show up and just to do a listening presentation, I get a gun pulled on me because the wife didn't tell the old rancher that I was coming out there to help him. you better be thinking twice about what you do out there. You know, if you're a new buyer and new owner, you need to ask around and try to build relationships.
Yeah. Well, this has been fun, and thanks for telling us about the Yellowstone and informing people about deed it and undeed it and all that good stuff. If we got a lot of Texas listeners, and we got a lot of listeners on the show, tell people how they can get a hold of you. And I want to do this again. I want to find out some stuff about the Wagner and the 4.6s and the TO and all that. I think this would be fun if you'll join me again in the future.
Yes, sir. I would love to. The best way to get a hold of me is just look up on any social media platform, James Bigley, which is Bigley Ranches. And it's all one word. It's easy to find me.
All right, cool. And we got one listener text in here and said, look up Coleman Herford Ranch in West Cliff, Colorado. So if you didn't know nothing about it, y'all check that out, I guess. Must be interesting.
All righty. I'll write it down and I'll look at it. Coleman Herford Ranch over in West Colorado.
All right. Well, I'll be in contact with you here in the next few weeks, next month sometime after the holidays. And you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You too, and Merry Christmas to everybody else.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's hear what Mr. Jerry Nine has to say about yesterday, and we'll be back, and I'll have your Long Ranger forecast for both northwestern and southwestern Oklahoma and most of all the Texas Panhandle.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction for sale. Last Tuesday, December 13th, we sold 572 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, December 15th, we sold 2,922 calves and feeders for a total of 3,494 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 75.50 to 79.5. Then cows brought 41 to 64.50. Bulls brought 68 to 97.50. Today, your bred cows 1,100 up to 1,600 with a 9 and older bred cow 775 to 1,100. Two-day year-old pairs, 1225 to 1700. Extremely good feeder market and calf market. Feeders up to 5 higher, calves 5 to 15 higher, steer cattle 3 to 50 steers. 235 to 275, 4 to 450, 231 to 267, 5 to 550 steers, $2 up to 244, 6 to 650, 170 to 186, 7 to 750, 167 to 177.5, 8 to 850, 174 to 176, and our 850 to 9 weight steers, 171 to 173. We sell 52 steers, one bunch weighing 427, bring 267. We sell 50 steers and another bunch weighing 511, bring 244. That's $1,246 a head. Modern heifers, 3 to 350 heifers, 203 to 213, 4 to 450, 185 to 216, 5 to 550, 171 to 183, 6 to 650, 151 to 167, 7 to 750, 152.5 to 176 and a quarter, 7 heifers at 889, bring 153, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 153 to 164.50. We sell 50 heifers in one bunch weighing 411, bring 226. But this Tuesday, December the 28th, we're expecting 40 bred cows, 4 to 8 years old. Got another deal of 20 bred cows and pairs. This is our last sale this year. First sale back will be Thursday, January the 5th. Thanks again, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Don't miss out on Gamron Jewelers pre-Christmas sale this Friday and Saturday with 20 to 40% off savings throughout the store. Join the KCO Rollin' Radio Show there live from 11 to 1 on Saturday and check out all the great custom jewelry pieces, fossil and citizen watches, gifts, and more. Ray and Dixie Gamron are wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas, and their gift to you is the gift of savings. That's 20 to 40% off this Friday and Saturday only, December 16th and 17th, only at Gamron Jewelers downtown Elk City, where they're famous for diamonds.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing, 303-4246.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 9th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,694 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 402 brought 248. 10 at 476 brought 222. 5 at 521 brought 206. 11 at 549 brought 193. 18 at 595 brought 192. 3 at 665 brought 175. 4 at 760 brought 162. 5 head of heifers at 333 brought 198. 4 at 483 brought 165. 7 at 491 brought 173. 10 at 532 brought 172.5. 3 at 552 brought 169. 4 at 570 brought 160. 13 at 680. 89 brought 149.5. Butcher cows were 29 to 81. Butcher bulls brought 62 to 101. Bred cows were 400 to 1575. Pairs brought 630 to 1925. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your Livestock Nutrition Center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed. Better results.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, let's just pick a town that's close to everything. And, nope, I'll do it right. Let's go with Freedom, Oklahoma for your northwestern Oklahoma forecast. Today, breezy, 41. Tonight, 19. Tomorrow, sunny and 45 with west winds. Partly sunny Sunday, 48. I was thinking today is Thursday. 48 degrees. Warm up a little bit. Monday, it's going to be the highlight of your week. It's going to be the warmest day of the week. Next week, looks like. Anyway, 42 Monday, Tuesday, 29 for a high. How about that? All right, let's go back a notch, pick out a town for the southwestern Oklahoma. Let's go with Hobart, Oklahoma, because the Hobart Farm and Garden is sponsoring this forecast. Currently at Hobart is 44 degrees with a wind chill of 36. The winds are out of the north-northwest at 16 miles an hour with wind gust up to 24. Humidity is 26%. Today, 44 for a high, 23 tonight. Tomorrow, not too bad. Winds be switching from the northwest out of the southwest. Won't be too breezy. Be sunny and 47. Tomorrow night, 26. Sunday, partly cloudy, 48 degrees. It says partly cloudy. I don't even see the sun. So let's go with mostly cloudy. How about that? 48. Monday, 49. Tuesday, 36 degrees for a high. Let's see here. Anyway, that's what we got going on there for your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Okay, it's been a while since I gave you guys a recipe. And you know I love beet. So anyway, it's pretty cool, pretty simple. You can actually remember this one. Parmesan crusted strip roast. How good does that sound? Man, sounds good. All you need is one beef strip roast, about 3 to 4 pounds. Half cup of grated Parmesan cheese. And then we have a quarter cup of chopped fresh parsley. 3 tablespoons of minced shallots. Half cup of panko or rusted bread crumbs. And salt and pepper. How about that? Anyway, easy to do. Listen up. Be sure you wash your hands with soap and water before cooking and handling your food. And afterwards, too. Anyway, preheat your oven to 325 degrees. Combine the cheese, parsley, and shallot in the food processor. Process until finely ground. Transfer to a medium bowl. Stir in the panko. Press panko mixture evenly to all surfaces of the beef roast. Next, place the roast fat side up on rack in shallow roasting pan. Insert oven-proof meat thermometer so the tip is centered in the thickest part of the beef, not in the fat. Do not add water or cover. Roast 325 degrees for an hour and a quarter to an hour and a half for medium rare. Add another half hour or so on there for medium. Remove the roast when the meat thermometer registers 135 degrees for medium rare, 145 for medium, or 155 for Jimmy. Transfer a roast to carving board. Tent loosely with aluminum foil. Let it stand about 10 or 15 minutes. The temperature will continue to rise about 10 or 15 degrees till it reaches 145 for medium rare, 160 for medium. Carve the roast into slices. Season with salt and pepper as desired. And get after it. How about that? That sounds good. Anyway, because beef, it's what's for Christmas, right? All right, we'll get that done. Okay, one last time for today, for tonight, benefit for Dakota Gloria and family. One night only, it's back. Loaded fries and street tacos at the Sarah High School Lady Eagle and Eagle basketball game at 6:30 tonight. As you guys all know, and I know Dakota, and he was recently injured in a work accident, and we're going to be doing a lot of surgeries and a lot of hospitals. So anyway, we need to help him. Also at the game tonight, all proceeds from the Loaded Fries and Street Tacos will go to help his family. They are big into 4-H and swine production. They had their own sale here a while back. Anyway, please be sure to go stop by there tonight. Watch the Lady Eagles in the Eagle basketball game. If not, at least stop by there and get you some Loaded Fries and Street Tacos. Also, there's a raffle going on. My wife and I have donated a quarter of Angus beef processed at Route 66 in Sayre to a winner for a raffle. And also there is a shotgun, a 20-gauge Benelli semi-automatic. And then Chad Ripito and family and the Ripito Farms have donated a full hog processed also at Route 66. So you got three chances for a $10 ticket. And they will be selling tickets there tonight. Also, you can stop by the Sayre Floral, buy tickets, southbound quick stop, the Sayre Co-op, or the Sayre Golf Course. There's no reason you can't go get tickets. Please help out Dakota Glory and his family. You guys have a wonderful weekend. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.